instruction to the children of Israel, and he is doing that through his servant Moses before Moses has his exit. And of course, the plan is for the children of Israel to go into the promised land, and that's what we're all looking for, right? We're all looking for a time when we can go to the promised land and enjoy all that God has for us. But I'm going to tell you something. Before you get there, there's some things that's got to happen, okay? There's some things got to happen. Look in chapter number 8, if you will, with me. And listen to what Moses writes. He says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not that the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and in his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, and from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of flint, and who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning. Thank you again for your word and for the time of worship. I pray now just bless us in these moments and these times as we worship you, as we love you, and as we praise you and give you thanks for everything you've done. I pray that we might just lift you up. If there's somebody here that needs you, would you speak to them and draw them to a place of salvation only found in you? And again, we'll praise you and thank you. Give you glory, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. I just want to talk to you this morning a little bit about going to God's school. Going to God's school. Now, anytime you need to learn some things, then you find out that you need to go to God's school, right? I mean, as far as spiritual things, you know, we've all been, most everybody in here, either you have been or you're going to school, and boy, ain't it fun. Amen. I mean, it is just a fun day in school. Some of y'all can sit back and you know, laugh about that. You know, sometimes now, I hope everybody does this, but there are times that I'll have a dream at night. And my dream is this, that I'm back in high school. And as I'm in high school, we're about to have a class, and somebody in the class comes up and tells me and says, "Hey, today is the final exam." And all of a sudden, I think to myself, I don't even know if I've been to this class this much this time. And as a matter of fact, I don't think I even got the book. Boy, I think I'm in trouble. We're coming up on the final, and I bet I'm going to flunk. I don't even know nothing about the subject. I don't know if any of the rest of y'all ever have that dream, but that's about the time you wake up and whew, you realize, like, man, I'm 68 years old. I've been out of school a long time. But that sure is scary when you think about that whole little situation and scenario, right? I mean, you feel like, man, I'm unprepared. I'm not ready. I don't know what's about to happen. I'm not even ready for it. Can I tell you? Hey, the same thing is true when it comes to our Christian life. Sometimes you need to realize, hey, I gotta get in this thing. I gotta find out. I gotta get the book. I gotta get in the book, and I gotta study some things from the book. Because if I don't, hey, there's something coming my way, and I want to know the answers, right? And that's exactly what the Lord is saying, I think, to the children of Israel here through all of this little statement that Moses has given to them. He's saying, look, God is wanting to take you to school. And as a matter of fact, God has been taking you to school. Now, I want you to know, a lot of you, probably all of you in this place, God has been taking you to school. Amen. There's some things He wants you to learn. There are some things that we're going to get as we go to school. You know, there's a lot of stuff that you get at school I'm assuming, I hadn't been to a school in quite a while, but I'm assuming they're teaching the same things in the same way. I believe when you look at it and you understand you go to school, I mean, there's some basic stuff that everybody's getting, and there's some complexities to it. There's some things that are a little deeper than others. Some of y'all were saying, boy, preacher, I sure would like to major in recess. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Or yeah, Daniel's raising his hand back here in the back. Praise God. I'm telling you, some of you want to, be whatever the easiest and the lightest thing is. Amen. But let me just tell you, sometimes things are tough when you go to school. So I want you to look this morning and let's see a few things that God has been teaching the children of Israel, that He says that He's teaching them, that He's showing them. And I think if you'll listen to them, you'll see that the same things are very applicable to me and you too. First of all, I want you to look at this they learned some lessons while in the circle. They learned some lessons while in the circle. Look, if you will, there in verse number 2, and listen to what the Lord says through Moses. He said, "And that thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no." I want you to know the children of Israel have wandered in the wilderness, and basically all they've done is gone around in circles for 40 years. I mean, the scholars, the experts, all the people can tell you that the trip that they took from Egypt to go to the Promised Land should have taken no longer than a week or so anyway. At its very, very most, a week. I mean, that's all they had. But do you know what God did? God led them around for 40 years, and all they did was circle the land where God was about to give them their Promised Land. I mean, they were out, and I want you to know something, though. While they were circling, while they was out there going in circle, God was teaching them some lessons. God was teaching them some lessons. I mean, there's some things that He tells them here in verse number 2. He said, "And that thou shalt remember." He said, I want you to remember some things about this circle. Hey, does your life sometimes seem like you just going round and round and round and round, and you right back where you started from sometimes? Sometimes it seems like it, doesn't it? We just seem like, man, I just went through that. I've just seen that problem before. I've just been in that situation. It seems like time
and time and time again. Brother, sometimes God puts us in those little circles, if you will, to try to help us to remember some things that we ought to know about Him. Amen. About Him. Well, what kind of things was He trying to show them? Well, first of all, He said, I want you to remember that something about your leading. Do you see what He said? That thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years. Can I tell you, you need to learn some lessons that it's God that does the leading. You and I need to learn that it's God that does the leading. Sometimes we want to be boss, and most of the time we want to be boss. We want to be the ones out front. We want to be leading the charge. We want it to go our way, and we want to go our way, don't we? But can I tell you, the Bible says here, God had a faithful man in the man named Moses. Amen. And Moses went where God gave direction. And thank God for that. Amen. I'm glad that he did. Because look, when God leads the way, you'll never go wrong, friend. You'll never go wrong. When you let God lead your life, the Bible tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If you let God lead you, He'll bring you to the place that He wants you. Amen. Oh, listen, the Bible says here that they got led by the Lord in this wilderness journey for 40 years. But God was doing it for a reason. God was weeding out, as He says, that what was in your heart, whether you'd keep His commandments or not. I mean, God knew what He was doing as He was leading them along this way. But I want you to understand, look, that it was the leading of the Lord God. Oh, listen, friend, you'll have the greatest life you've ever had when you let God lead you in this life. Your life will count. Your life will have value. Your life will have worth when you realize that you're letting God lead you. Amen. Boy, we ought to be singing that song, Lord, lead me on. Amen. From day to day. I mean, hey, we ought to realize that we need the leadership of God. You need the leadership of God in your family. You need the leadership of God in your personal life. You need the leadership of God in everything you do. Can I tell you, we need the leadership of God in our churches today. I mean, we can do, and many times we do. Without the leadership of God, we go our way, we do our thing, we you know, try this and that and the other. But friend, let me tell you, it's so much better when you let God lead the way. Amen? So he says, first of all, here's some stuff I want you to learn in this circular route that you're going. First of all, let yourself learn that it is the Lord thy God which led thee. There's something that you need to know about the leading. Not only about leading, listen to this. There's something you also need to know about the lowering. The lowering, what are you talking about? Listen to what he said. It's God, he says, which the Lord thy God, which led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Look what he says. To humble thee and to prove thee. Oh, let me tell you. God wants to lower you sometimes. As I said, sometimes we won't be the head, don't we? We won't be the leader. We won't be out front. But can I tell you, God wants to lead, and he wants me and you to find our place in humility. Our places should be in humility. We ought to find ourselves humbled at the feet of Jesus. Can I tell you, most of the people you'll find in your Bible in the New Testament that get something from the Lord, you know where you find them? You find them at Jesus' feet. Amen? You remember that fellow that was possessed of the demons and he run around all over the graveyard and nobody could tame him? When Jesus got there, things changed. When Jesus came into his life, when Jesus worked a miracle, when Jesus performed some stuff in it, I want to tell you what happened. The Bible says this, that when they found him, his friends ran off, or the people that knew him ran off. When they come back, where did they find him? They found him clothed and in his right mind, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. What I'm telling you is this, friend. Hey, you and I need to let God humble us. We need to break ourselves. You remember, I've talked about a lot in John chapter 13, how that Jesus went in and he humbled himself enough to wash all of his disciples' feet. I want to tell you, that's a job of humility. That's a job that requires getting physically in a position of lowness, but it takes a lowly, humble person to get down and do some of those things. Brother, and I'm telling you, you know, Peter's like, oh, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. He said, well, Lord, don't just wash my feet, then get me all over, amen. And Jesus said, look, you don't see what he was trying to show them was that we all ought to humble ourselves. You know what the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse number 16? It said, these six things God doth have. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. You know what the very first thing is on the list? A proud look. A proud look. God hates your pride. God hates my pride. Oh, preacher, I don't need nobody to tell me. And you know, that's the way we get sometimes. Can I tell you, the Lord said, I put you out there. And I let y'all walk around for 40 years so that I could humble you and prove you or check you out, see what you were going to do about that, okay? So, hey, the school that God put them in, hey, they got on that circular route, and that circular route was there to show them who was the leader. It was there to show them that they ought to get lower, and it was also there to show them about the lighting. Look what he says. He said, to humble thee and to prove thee, in verse number 2, he said, to know what was in thine heart. Amen. God said, I did that so I just know what's in your heart. I won't know what's in your heart. Do you know God wants to know what's in your heart? God wants to know what's in your heart. As a matter of fact, God does know what's in your heart. He knows if you're bowing up against him. He knows if you're standing up and said, oh, God, you can just do everything you want to, but I'm not bending. I'm not giving up. Can I tell you, brother, you'll be better off when you let God light that picture up and show you, hey, he knows, and you need to know that he knows. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you, I think one of the greatest examples of that in our Bible today is the fact that Paul was that man. I believe Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, I believe he was that man. I believe he thought he was big, bad, mean. I mean, he thought he was the stuff. He was out there putting Christians in jail. He was consenting to their death. They come up and they said, we're going to stone Stephen. Oh, Paul said, go ahead. I put my approval on it. Y'all go ahead and kill him. And he stood there and he watched as they threw rock after rock after rock, and Stephen fell down. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And then he looked up and he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. He said, hey, the Bible said to old Stephen, they kept throwing him rocks. You know what he did? The Bible said he just laid down and went to sleep. Amen. I'm telling you, I believe Paul was getting loaded up on that. I believe he was like, I ain't going to let none of that affect me. Oh, really? Can I tell you, there's some of you in this house this morning, God's tried to throw everything and has thrown many things. He's trying to affect your life. You ain't going to let that affect me. You ain't going to let that do it. Yeah, brother, when he gets you, he's got you. Paul's walking on the road to Damascus, and you know what happens? The Bible said he's out there traveling with some companions, and then it said there rose a light. There came a light above the brightness of the noonday sun, and it knocked Paul to the ground. And then he heard a voice that said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? I believe he got broke. Amen. Can I tell you, my prayer for you today is this, that God would break you. That God would break us, that he'd tear us down so that he'd know, and that, as I say, you'd know what's in your heart. Oh, you got that pride. You got that stubbornness. You've got that ain't nobody gonna tell me, that attitude. But I'm telling you, I'm glad God can come in and he can lower you down to where you need to be. Amen? I mean, that's what, and I'm telling you, that's one of the lessons. That's one of the lessons the children of Israel learned as they went in the circle with God. He said, I had you out there in the wilderness. These 40 years I had you in the wilderness, and I wanted to show you some things. Amen. You been to that school? Amen. The lessons learned in the circular. That's what happened out in the wilderness. But I want you to notice that God is trying to work for you. He's not working against you. And the harder that you go the other direction, the more he's trying to get you and say, look, just do this the way that I want you to do it. Do this in the way that I'm leading, because you'll save yourself a whole lot of hassles. Y'all remember here a little over a week and a half or so ago, when Brother Jeremy was here preaching, and he's preaching out of the book of Jonah. Out of the book of Jonah. You know what Jonah said? Jonah said, God, let me just tell you something. I'm not preaching to that crowd. And God said, Jonah, let me tell you something. You are going to preach to that crowd. Amen. You get in a battle with God about your will and his will. Hey, I know who's going to win every time. Oh, Jonah said, matter of fact, I'm going to go down here. I'm going to buy me a ticket. Tarshish. He's going to go. He found him a ship going to Tarshish. Tarshish is 180 degrees the other direction from where God wanted him to go to Nineveh. He said, I'm going the other way. God said, go ahead, big boy. Let's see how that's working out for you. He paid that fare. He got on the boat. He done wasted his money. Amen. I mean, he done wasted his money because he's never going to get to where he thinks he's going. He's going right back where God said you are going. And boy, he got on that ship. And then all of a sudden, the Bible said God caused a great storm to come up. And then if you remember, after a little while, when Jonah finally fessed up and told all of them what was going on, and they said, look, son, what'd you do this for? He said, well, you know, I'm stubborn. Amen. Huh? Some of y'all shake your head like, yeah, that's me too, preacher. And you know what God did? The Bible said, oh, Jonah said, look, got a solution. Y'all throw me over, I'll die, and everything will go back to calm for y'all. Because God's after me. He's not after y'all. He's after me. Well, they wrestle with that for a few minutes, and they say, okay, we're against our better judgment. But you know what the Bible tells you there? And God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Huh? He couldn't even kill himself, could he? He couldn't even kill him. He jumps over, or they throw him over in the water. God's got that fish, and he goes, womp. And that fish goes, zoop, goes down. And chapter number 2, you see the prayer of Jonah. Jonah prays from the belly of hell, he said, cried I. And God heard him. And if you look in the latter part of chapter number 2 of the book of Jonah, Jonah says this. He said, I'm ready to pay those vows that I've made. Hey, I think I've changed my mind, God. Yeah, and you know what God did? God directed that fish to go the other direction from Tarshish. Oh, Jonah said, I want to go. Oh, God said, you're going this way. And that fish went that way. And when he got him where he wanted, hey, that fish got an upset stomach and said, I can't stomach old foul prophets. And threw him up on the shore. Amen? Huh? And you know what? Yeah, it probably seaweeds and dead fish and hooks and anchors and everything else and everything. I don't know. But he's on the shore. You know what God said? The Bible said, chapter 3, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah again and said, arise, go to Nineveh and preach the preaching that I bid thee. Yes, sir. I'm ready. Amen. I'm just telling you, friend, it goes a whole lot better when you do it God's way. When you do it, God, he's got a way of getting your attention. He's got a way of breaking you. And he let them go around in circles and circles and circles for 40 years. God got rid of all the dead heads. He got rid of all the dead wood. He got rid of all the hard heads. And finally, he was left with a group of people that he could work with. Amen? So first of all, in God's school, there's some lesson from the circle. Second of all, I want you to know there's some lessons in the chastening. Look what he says in verses 5 and 6. He says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Amen? I'm just telling you about there's a lesson in the chastening of God. First of all, God says, I want you to understand, there is a design in what I'm doing. There's a design. Do you see what he says? Listen to this. He said in verse number 5, that thou shalt also consider in thine heart that, he says, listen, as a man chasteneth his son. There's a design to this. God said, this is just like what you would do with your own child. God said, this is what you do with your children. You chasten them. You put them, and something's not right, and something, they're not doing something. You put them to a place of chastening. You do something in their lives that makes them uncomfortable or to know that you're not happy with what's going on. Amen? Isn't that what we do? Mamas and daddies, y'all do that? You know, that first time some of these little kids, when they're coming along, and man, I mean, it might break your heart sometimes, but, oh, they find out what no means. Amen? Some little kid, he's just getting to where he could talk, and some little old man saw him, and he was playing with him, and he said, son, what's your name? He said, well, I think my name's No. He said, what do you mean, No? He said, that's all my mama and my daddy say to me is, No. He said, that must be my name, No. Amen? Hey, you ever felt like that with your kids? You're telling them no, and they keep trying to be that little stand-up thing on the inside of them, activity, that action, that hardening. But brother, can I tell you, hey, there comes a time for chastening. Slap him little hands. Woo! Can I tell y'all, my mama knew about, she'd call it hickory tea. Y'all remember that? Wow! A little bitty branch off of a hedge bush, it would slap the back of your leg, and you'd do some of them dances. You thought you had the Holy Ghost then, buddy. I mean, you're moving right along. Now you're okay, preacher. Well, they beating kids. That wasn't no beating. It just got your attention real good. Amen. What I'm telling you is, he says, just like a man will chasten his children. Just like a person corrects their children. Just like a person works on their children. Hey, God's got a design in what he's doing. And he shows it to us and through us. Amen? I mean, do you realize that? The Bible talks about over several times. Jesus talked about the chastening that God does. Over in the book of Hebrews, the writer talks about. He said, now, in chapter number 12, no chastening at the present time seemed joyous. He said, but it works something in the long run in your life. Amen? So the writer here says, Moses said, man, it has a design to it. And there is a destination that is attached to it. Look what he said. He said, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord. The point of chastening is obedience. Obedience. Woo! Didn't y'all hate to hear them words? Boy, listen to me. Woo, yes, sir. I am listening. Amen? Boy, when God begins to say, boy, listen to me, you better listen. You better listen. Like I said, there's the story of Jonah. I mean, you can see that. You see the story of Paul, as I mentioned, when he was Saul of Tarsus. God said, I'm talking, are you listening? Amen. You know what happens so many times? We try to hide. We try to be like Adam. Adam and Eve hid in the garden. And God said, where are you? Well, we're over here. We're hid. Well, why are you hid? We're naked. Well, who told you that? We were disobedient, and we did something that you said don't do. Amen. Isn't that hard to swallow when you get in that part of the school? Can I tell you, there's not a one of you in this building that haven't been a disobedient person in the presence of God. Everybody in this room, you have disobeyed God some way or other. You've lied, you've cheated, you've stolen, you've lusted, you have disregarded the name of God. You've done something and broken the law and the heart of God. I don't care who you are, but aren't you glad that in the act of obedience of coming to him, there is forgiveness. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen? He said, look, there's a design to it. There's a way God has this designed. It's just like when you are correcting your children. He said, there's a destination for it. But aren't you glad this, that God does have a delight in the reaction from it? Look what he says in verse number 6. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways and to fear him. God is delighted when we come to that place of obedience. And we learn to walk in His way. And we learn to fear Him. Can I tell you, God is delighted in me and you. Amen. You remember what the Bible said? And I've quoted it, I don't know how many times, that it's talking about Jesus. Jesus says, I delight to do thy will, O God. Can I tell you, the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. What do you say? I'm saying God delights in the fact that you and I will do His will. God is delighted. God is ecstatic. God is so happy when you and I do His will. Now, God's not up there waiting to just crush you like a bug. You know, that's what a lot of folks think. Oh, God's going to do away with me. No, He's not. He loves you, and He wants to save you, and He wants you to be in obedience, and He wants you to walk according to His direction. As a matter of fact, you look at this. Read this in Deuteronomy. There's already been a generation before these that were rebellious and hard-hearted and stubborn and against the things of God, and they didn't like anything that God was doing. God got rid of them. Amen? God's got rid of them. But now He's got some other folks here, and God is delighting in doing something for them. Let's look at one last thing. Do the thought of this. There is a lesson in the consideration. Listen down in verse number 11. Now, he's talked about all the things that He has done for them. And in verse number 7, He said, I brought you to a land, a good land, and it's got brooks of waters and fountains and valleys and hills and wheat and barley and, you know, all kinds of goods. God said, I'll give you everything that's good. Look down in verse number 11. He said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt there, and then He said, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold multiply, and all that you've got is multiplied, then you know what you do? Kick back and say, well, look what I have done. Amen? Yeah. That big I. Boy, look what I've accomplished, I have made, I have done. Oh, I have arrived. God said, be careful. There's some consideration. There's a lesson in our considerations. What are you doing? Well, first of all, consider this. Don't ever start to forget the Lord. Amen. I mean, that's when you get in trouble. You better remember Him. You better remember Him. He said, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Don't you ever forget what God's done for you. Get up in the morning, look around your house and say, thank you, God, you've done all this. Look at your wife or your husband. Say, thank you, God, you've given me a family. Thank you, God, I got money in the bank. I got food on the table. I got clothes. All that I've got, you've done it. I didn't do this. You've done. Don't you ever, ever, ever forget about the Lord. Don't ever forget about God's goodness on you. Oh, you get in trouble when you forget about God's goodness. As a matter of fact, do you see what He said there, very first thing, verse number 11? Beware. Beware. I mean, that's a term of alarm or a term of alert. Don't you ever forget what God's done for you. Don't forget the Lord. Don't forget the Lord. Look down in verse number 17. Look what He says. He talked about all the things that God had done there in verses 13, 14, 15, 16. How He brought them out and gave them this and did all this stuff, fed them with manna. In verse 17, He said, and then, here's what you wind up doing if you forget me. You say in your own heart, you say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Woo-wee. That is some pretty good problem that a lot of folks have nowadays of self-confidence. As I say, look what I've done. Look what we've built. Look what I have. Look at all that I got. Do you remember Jesus telling the story about the man that had his farm and his barns and his fields brought forth, and he couldn't even put it all in the barn? He had to tear them down with some bigger ones. And he said, well, I know what I'll do. I'll tear this down, I'll fill up my barn, and I'll just take mine ease. I'll sit back and I'll say, soul, take thy rest, for you've just got everything you need. But you know what the Bible said, God said to him? That night, the Bible said, the Lord said to him, thou fool. He said, you're about to lose it all over foolish thinking. Can I tell you, when you begin to think that you did, when you begin to think that I have, oh, listen, what I got. Look at where I live. Look at what I drive. Look at who my people are. Look at all what I've provided. Boy, I'm telling you, that fella woke up and God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You think you've done, what good's it going to do you now? Can I tell you, you're in the same shape. Everybody in this room right here is in that same shape. You in that same shape. God says, thou fool. When you start having self-confidence and saying, look what I and me and mine, all that belongs to me, all of that is, hey, you're in trouble. Oh, preacher, I don't have anything to worry about. I got a big bank account sitting back there. Oh, I've got all my insurances lined up. I've got my house paid for. I've got automobiles that are mine. I've got everything that I could ever want. Can I tell you the most valuable thing? That you've got your soul and you better tend to it. You better take care of that. You better do so. Your self-confidence is going to get you in trouble. Oh, look what I've got. And the Lord says here, beware, man. I mean, you wake up and realize, and that you might say in your heart, you don't even have to say it out loud. You could have that pride in your heart and say, well, you know, get that lip pooched out. Get your head lifted up. You don't have to say it. Sometimes everybody can see it. You ever seen anybody? I've seen them on television. I've seen them in person. And you could just tell. Well, I have arrived. Amen. Oh, my. I want to be like the Pharisee and the publican Jesus talks about. I want to be like the publican. That Pharisee struts himself out, looks up to heaven and says, oh, God, I'm glad I give my tithe and I possess this and I do that and I'm not like this guy, this old sinner over here. I want to be like the sinner who wouldn't even lift his face up to heaven, smote himself on the breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, listen. Hey, when you should start filling yourself with the remembrance of God's help and goodness to you. Listen to what he says in verse number 18. He said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto the fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Amen? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you better learn the lessons. God took these people to school. And I tell you, sometimes, you know, I remember being in school and, man, you get them papers back. Teacher would send you a paper. It's folded up. And you're there. They'll never eliminate prayer in school, trust me. When it comes test time, you'll open them up, and I've looked at them, and I'm like, wow. I mean, 65. And, you know, fold it back up real quick. Somebody next to me, what'd you get? I ain't telling you. Right? I didn't do so well. But then there had been those days I'd open it up and say, A plus. And say, how about that, y'all? Woo! Amen? Hey, let me tell you, there's days in life you're going to fail. There's days in life you're gonna get less than 65. I mean, you ain't going to do well at all. There's days when you will do well. But can I tell you what you ought to do every day? Never forget the Lord. Realize that it's the Lord that has done everything that is done and is being done for you. And can I tell you, if you're here this morning, and I'm just sure there's some folks here this morning, you need to come and tell the Lord you need salvation. Lord, I need for you to save me. I need for you to get me in this school of the things I'm learning. Hey, help me to get into this place where I know that I'm trusting you. I'm not trusting myself. Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing a song. I'm not trusting. I've been trusting me, and trusting me is not working. Trusting me is not going to get me to heaven. Trusting me is making a mess in my life. And I need Christ Jesus to save me today. I need Jesus to save me today. And you're here today and you're sweating it. You're troubled. You're concerned. You're worried. Can I tell you, all you need to do is make that first move, come down here, and let us pray with you. We're not here to condemn you. We're not here to pile on you. We're not here to, you know, tell you how bad you are. We're here to tell you how good God is. And there'll be somebody here to meet you this morning. And they're ready to pray with you. While we stand all over the house, if you will. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie? Page 354. While we get ready to sing a verse of this song. 300.